It's Greg Folk, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel and Goggin Cold Hall, coldest team in town. It is Patton Cook, Patton underscore Cook, at John Burton 32, at the Pogster, and at Nash Sports Radio for all of the station media platforms and all of the go download that app, too.
Yeah, man. Yep, take us with you wherever you go.
And at WNSR.com. Really, really nice website. At Teresa M. Walker, while we're doing all the Twitter, writes for the Associated Press. Hello, Teresa. How you doing?
Hey, T.
I am good. How are you two doing this morning?
I just got hit by some French's mustard bottle. I didn't.
And a yellow golf ball.
Yeah, I didn't see where it came. John, how did you get that in here?
Don't you worry about it. T, what did you make of the debacle Saturday night in Knoxville?
Ridiculous, embarrassing. And the thing that's kind of aggravated me maybe the most over the last 24, 36 hours are people trying to explain and defend what happened. Yes, I've had people coming at me on social media. This is a passionate fan base.
Oh, get out of here with that. Not you, but them. You know?
Exactly, right? I had somebody tell me yesterday that they know somebody whose 12-year-old had to get stitches because they got hit by flying debris, okay? We saw the cheerleaders, the dance team, the band all get out of there for their own safety, which to me tells me it wasn't just coming from the student section. There was debris flying from a lot of places. Now, the other argument is, well, it's just a small percentage. Even if it's just 1% of around 100,000 people, that's 1,000 folks, which is 1,000 too many. Because here's the thing, guys. We saw what happened at the end of the game. The Tennessee defense went out and made a stop. I mean, they got the ball back. They had a chance. They had the ball in their hands at the end of the game. And then Joe Milton pulls a Tony Robinson. That's an old reference. 1984, Tony Robinson against Kentucky in Neyland, runs out of bounds at the 4-yard line with no time left on the clock trying to score to win the game. It was a little frisky that day. I was there. I was a student. And I remember, Kentucky fans were feeling their oats. Who knew it'd be a quarter century before they'd win again? But the fact of the matter is, Pete, it was a little frisky. Things weren't thrown, okay? I know people weren't happy with the officiating. I know they were unhappy with all the injuries that were going down. I did feel like it was a little conjured just to stop the clock and interrupt momentum. You can look and say, well, who did it more? Maybe Ole Miss did it more than the Vols. There was some both sides to this. But the fact of the matter is, your ticket does not entitle people to throw stuff on the field. That was a 20-minute delay-ish, okay? That just should not happen. You almost cost your team, a chance to do anything. What if the SEC had said, you know what, call it. It's Ole Miss's game, walk them off the field, that's it. That's what they risked doing in that situation. And, Dondi Plowman made it clear. They're looking at video. They are going to find as many people as they can, and those people are going to get punished. And I don't know about you guys, but as they should, because we're lucky that it wasn't more serious. We can joke about the golf ball that Lane Kiffin held up. We really got lucky that it didn't hurt more people.
Yeah, and the thing is, and we've talked about this, that last night had the potential win or loss to be a coronation. 102,000 plus. The Heupel. The brand of ball he's playing, the way Hendon Hooker has emerged and the way he was playing until he got hurt, all the things that go into this. It was Lane Kiffin. You had everything. You had the national audience in tow. But what do they remember? Not a game that was very competitive. That may have had a bad – after I looked at it from several different angles, I don't know that the ball got there. His body did. But, and then the Tyler Barron, that one was just a bad call, okay? That should have been a touchdown, but it wasn't. End of story, though, on that. UT, because of however many knuckleheads there were, really ruined what could have been a very good night. And also, going into this game, remember Friday?
Yeah.
Do you know how many major, it was an unofficial visit weekend, but they had a ton load of 4- and 5-star players there, including Walter Nolan, the number one player in the country.
That's a great point that we haven't even talked about is the fact that, it just makes everything look bad, right?
Yep.
Well, absolutely. And think about this. You had all that stuff going on. And the pictures, did you see the pictures, the fireworks, the light show? It was gorgeous on that stadium and what they were doing. And then it ends up not mattering because what have we been talking about for the last 36 hours? The people who threw stuff on the field. Forget the fact that they had a chance with the ball to beat the number 13 team in the country. Again, all lost in what happened there. And, by the way, I still think that that was a fumble and a touchdown that should have stood as a scoop and score.
There you go. Well, now, and the thing is, there is, you do think there's forward momentum a little bit with Tennessee, but again, the national perception of what it is. Let's change gears. Teresa Walker with Associated Press, at Teresa M. Walker on Twitter on the F&M Bank phone line. Vanderbilt, Teresa, over the years, we've seen them invent ways to lose games in every different way. I mean,
so many ways.
And then another one said, you know, they did everything but win that football game.
Did it feel like they went into a prevent defense? I mean, you're rushing three.
Yeah.
We were talking about that. Yep.
Yep. And they had two timeouts, too, right?
Yeah, at least two.
Yes. And it's like, oh, my goodness. At that point, just, you know, cover. You know, it felt like they were in a zone or something. And, you know, that one hurts because that should have been Clark Lee's first SEC win. Instead, we're talking about 16 straight SEC losses. That's the tough part because they went out and played a heck of a game, you know, forcing turnovers, making South Carolina be more miserable than Vanderbilt. You know, guys, they came in with their own nine-game skid in SEC play. And instead, they get off the schneid. Shane Beamer gets his win in a game where they were already starting to say, do we really want this guy as our coach? And then that happened.
Yeah, you know, T, and it was like, you know, that's the ending of that game is going to be a 30 for 30 down the road. You know, the grad assistant with the dad bod comes in off the bench and leads a last-second drive. But you're right. I mean, the fact that they had two timeouts, South Carolina could work the middle of the field because they had time and timeouts. Why not rush an extra guy, like one extra guy? Would that kill you in coverage? I don't know. I'm not a coach. I don't watch film. I get it. But still, it just when you're sitting back in coverage against a quarterback that knows what he's doing, you know what I'm saying? And you're not putting any pressure on him. It's almost easy pickings.
Here's the thing. They had four turnovers in that game, and they couldn't.
Unreal.
You know, rush somebody, do something, you know. That's the frustrating thing about it. You rush somebody.
We can feel your frustration, T.
And instead, we're talking about same old Vanderbilt. And guys, as Greg mentioned, we've seen, you know, some ways that Vanderbilt has, you know, snatched, defeat out of the jaws of victory so many times. You know, there's a reason why it's called a moral victory. Mm. Well, this one isn't going to be a moral victory because it's one that they should have won. Ken Seals is out with an injury. Mike Wright plays pretty well. That defense, really well. And they end up taking it away from them.
Unreal.
Tonight, Teresa?
Yep. Yeah, I was just going to go there.
I figured you were, so I beat you to it.
Yeah.
Titans, Bills, obviously Monday Night Football. The Cardinals notwithstanding, the Bills have the feel right now of being the best team in football.
Oh, they absolutely do. They come in with a four-game winning streak. They scored the most points per game. They give up the fewest points per game. I mean, it's a great combination. And, yeah, you know, it's funny. I tweeted out a snippet of Mike Vrabel the other day talking about how he's not really talking about the stats, you know, and where the Bills are in them because he doesn't want his team thinking about that. And I've got all these Bills fans flooding my timeline saying he's scared, he's nervous. And it's like, oh, come on. Have you not heard of a coach poor-mouthing, you know, against an opponent? And I got exactly what Mike Vrabel was saying. He didn't want his team thinking, oh, they're so great. He wanted to focus in on the X's and O's of what you do to actually beat them. And, again, oh, man, it's like the Bills fans have forgotten what happened a year ago. You know, let's not – a history lesson. A year ago, the Titans – you know, now they've got 16 players on IR. They, you know, the injury report is down with just 14 on it this past week, down from 23 a week
making
ago.
Making progress.
Which is improved. Yeah, JB. But a year ago, they were off, you know, coming off of COVID. You know, they had nine players still on the COVID list. They had two guys who'd just gotten off but who were scratched. I mean, you know, this was the epitome of a banged-up team, and they went out and had a 42-16 win. So it's like, you know, it's funny how a four-game streak and all these great stats can get you feeling good about yourself. There's lots of Bills fans in town. But, guys, this has been the stretch that the Titans, in my humble opinion, have been gearing up for. You know, the reason that Bud Dupree, you know, besides the fact that he needed it with his knee, missed the last three games was it's like you want him for now. You know, Julio Jones misses two games with a tight hamstring, which was funny on Friday when we asked him about it, and he's like, hamstring? I was just tight. And it's like, yes, it was a tight hamstring. We get that. But, you know, he, A.J. Brown, yes, A.J. Brown was added to the injury report yesterday with an illness. But this is the stretch. Bills tonight, Chiefs on Sunday. And if you watch them, yes, they beat the Washington football team, but that is not the Chiefs team that we've been accustomed to the last couple years. So, and then you go to Indianapolis, which is suddenly starting to get into a groove. And then there's the Sunday night game against the Rams. This is the four-game stretch that it feels like they've been building up to, trying to point toward, maybe almost as the second start of their season. So I'm very curious to see what happens tonight. They've got the number three run defense. Titans have, oh, God, remember him, Derrick Henry, the guy who's not just leading the NFL. He's putting up numbers that, you know, if he stays on this pace, it's going to be a season for the ages in the NFL. So forget the fact that they added a 17th game. So, you know, I'm looking forward to tonight. I think this should be a fun game. But I've thought that before, and, you know, it's going to all depend on how the Tennessee Titans come out.
I think it's on their defense.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. You know, but every time Vrabel gets backed into a corner, he surprises us.
Yep.
You know, and we, right. And I, you know,
he's a resilient coach, and his players are a reflection of him, no doubt.
He loves to play that underdog role. Mm-hmm. So, I, you know, but then again, yeah. But Teresa, well, Greg, yeah, the 28 point, you know, that's what we're talking. You're talking about the numbers. The last four wins, are, well, they're only four wins, four in a row, by an average of 28 points a game. That's Alabama college football.
Right.
That's margins.
Not. Yeah, you don't normally see that in the NFL.
No, you don't. But and they did to the Houston Texans the same day the Titans were losing to the New York Jets. What you do to a struggling team? They pounded them 40-0. So, you know, that's what that was. Guess what? That was then. This is now. And as you mentioned, Mike Vrabel coaching and in that underdog mentality. We remember how they were completely counted out in the playoff run where they went to New England. They weren't supposed to win that game. Baltimore. No way they were supposed to have a chance. And then they go to Kansas City. Yes, didn't have a chance in that. And yes, but, you know, guys, they did have a double-digit lead in the first half of that
twice.
Game that they just couldn't hold on to. So, mm-hmm. You know, they do have an ability under Mike Vrabel to rise to the occasion. Now, I think we'd all like to see them handle being a front runner, being expected to do things. And that's one thing that the Buffalo Bills have absolutely been able to embrace and build on, and that's why their run has been so impressive.
T, the Preds are 0-2. Blow it up. Fire Hines, trade Duchesne, trade Johansson. What are we going
to
do?
Relegate them to the the AHL.
Relegate them to Milwaukee. Sky is falling, T. Help us.
I wish I could. I mean, here's the thing, guys. You know, I know that David Poile is trying to rephrase that competitive rebuild, and I'm not sure. I can't even remember the phrase that they're trying to use now. But
retool? Is it retooling? Is that it?
I'm not sure. Yeah. It's not working yet, is it? Yeah. You can't have a foot in both rooms. And I'm going to give a hat tip to the or stick tap to Jim Diamond, who helps me on the Predators. You know, when they announced the deal for Matthias Ekholm, he's 31 and gets a four-year deal, and it's not starting this year. This is on
right.
top of the contract he currently has, and he kind of said that was like 28 in dog years, you know. And you know, David Poile has, you know, and you know, watch Philip Forsberg. You know, this is a guy who has yet to sign a contract, and if I'm him, I'm watching and seeing how this all goes before I make my commitment. And you know, if he doesn't get signed by the trade deadline, you know, you got to think David Poile's got to get something right. He can't go down the Ryan Suter, trade, didn't get anything from him whatsoever before he left as a free agent road. And, you know, and you look at what you got out of Victor Arvidsson and Ryan Ellis when you traded them before the draft. Got to think he could have had more. You know, sometimes when you try to hang on, and it still feels like maybe David Poile's still trying to hang on to the past and help that build that road to the future, sometimes it just doesn't work. So maybe the Predators get things turned around before we know it. I'm just going to need to see it.
Yeah, two games. Yeah, that is one thing. So, well, we'll see. Hey, Teresa, as always, have fun tonight at the game. Be safe. You'll be sitting in the press box, or you won't get hit by anything. So, anyway, take care.
That's a good thing.
All right.
And I will say this. It's a little easier to police patrol when you've got 68,000 as opposed to 100,000.
Yeah. Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks, guys.
You know, buying a car can be overwhelming, especially.